some warning, Matt. You've done this before.
Ding, ding, my ears. Ring the bell! Help!
What happened?
We got a trade to announce.
We got two.
My God, Jordan. Big dog ball talk. Matt Accord. Jordan Fleagle. Hopefully your eardrums are still intact. Alex, edit it. Lower my levels. Lower the headphones. Maybe mute me. I don't know.
Just cut him out. I can do this on my own.
I should have really committed to the bit and just yelled so loud that it clipped and you couldn't hear anything. that'll be for the end of the podcast, maybe.
Sure, yeah, you can have that.
But this is the Big Dog Ball Talk. We're the big dogs. Reign supreme. Talking about the NBA, and my God, Jordan, this might be, I might put the stamp on it. This might be the biggest episode of the podcast ever in terms of just crazy news. Like, I texted you about it as it went down Saturday night. I assumed you were sleeping, so I just spammed your phone hoping that you were going to wake up.
Why would you assume I'm sleeping? I'm in my 20s, Matt. Okay, you know what? Fuck you. One year difference, whatever. Yeah. Go on. But no, I was awake, all right?
This
was Saturday,
this was,
partying.
Like, this has to be the craziest trade in NBA history. It has to be. I mean, Kevin Durant getting traded was crazy, but I mean, he was already 34 when he was dealt over to Phoenix. Same with, you know, James Harden to the Nets. You know, if we're talking about recent ones, I mean, even like T-Mac, when he was traded from Orlando to Houston, wasn't, I think he was still one of the best players, but I don't know if he was Luka level, and the guys who was also involved in that trade were not Anthony Davis level. So, let's get into this, Jordan. Again, maybe the biggest NBA trade of all time, one of the biggest ones in North American sports history. Luka Doncic traded from the Dallas Mavericks to Los Angeles Lakers alongside Maxi Kleba and Markieff Morris over to the Mavericks alongside Anthony Davis, our Max Christie, and the Lakers 2029 first-round pick. And then to make this all go down, shout out to the Utah Jazz for helping us out.
Jalen
Schifino going to Utah along with the Clippers 25 second-round pick and the Mavericks 2025 second-round pick. Okay, Jordan. What angle should we tackle this from first? The Utah Jazz? I mean, Jalen Schifino, he's a young prospect. He's looking good. It was just shocking. And it's funny. I don't know, did we manifest this? Because on the last episode on Friday or Saturday morning podcast, if anyone was listening to that one, we said that trades right now, the big trades never happen when you hear for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks plus. Oh, yeah, there's rumblings. There's disgruntled players here and there. It always ends up being, you know, a wet fart and nothing ever actually comes to, you know, reality. But then when you have the ones that are within 10 minutes, that all just comes out of nowhere and, you know, you're shocked. You have no idea what just happened. And that was with this. Everybody, including myself, assumed that Shams was hacked. This seemed like the
Absolutely.
Most fake trade I'd ever heard.
It was, no, Matt, I don't think people are understanding. It goes even beyond it. Like, if you were trying to fake a trade, you wouldn't put this out because people would know that it was fake. Like, a lot of those fake trades are like, you know, they have a semblance of they could maybe happen. This one, I was like, oh, this can't even be fake. What idiot would even try and put this out to try and dupe anyone? It was just, I've never really experienced anything like this. I've got people texting me about this trade. My fucking younger brother texted me about this trade. He doesn't watch basketball.
Boy.
He doesn't really. We've got a guy. I was at a fucking one-year-old kid's birthday party today. He was talking about me about this trade.
Yeah.
He also does not watch basketball. So this is like 100% the biggest trade, most unexpected, whatever you want to call it, in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I would just like to know. I mean, I don't follow that many other sports all that closely as I do the NBA. If there's any trade in any of the team sports that comes close to this level of, I was informed today by that guy at the birthday party that Wayne Gretzky was in fact traded, but I don't believe it
was,
but
was
it out of fucking nowhere?
All the cups.
Yeah,
nah,
right.
Not really. Like, and it was kind of a weird trade. Like, it was like for a couple picks. Like, it wasn't like a fair trade by any means.
Yeah, right. So it's like, I would like to, you know, run through the history of all of team sports and see what other ones even come close to this. But yeah, I think the way that the whole sports and basketball world has reacted to this, it's pretty clear the craziest, most unexpected trade that we've ever seen. And there's so many just unbelievable aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest takeaway for me is just the simple fact that Luka Doncic was traded. I mean, this whole quote from Mark Cuban back in 2020 or whatever, who, by the way, I don't think it's a coincidence that Mark Cuban steps away from the team and then this happens now that these new owners are in here. Like, new owner syndrome, this has been taken to a whole new level, even though it sounds like it was the GM, Nico Harrison's whole sort of brainchild, but that's neither here nor there. But
we'll talk about him, I'm sure, in a little bit here.
Yes, but Mark Cuban said, would I trade Luca or get or choose my wife? Who would I pick? Catch me at the fucking courthouse signing the divorce papers, because I would never do this. And that's the caliber of player Luca was in all of our minds. Just someone you would absolutely never trade. He came off taking a team to the NBA Finals last year. They just made all these changes in the offseason to basically run it back. He doesn't even get a full year. Not even to mention that the team that went to the finals hasn't even been together for a year yet. People forget that the Gafford and PJ Washington move was last year at the trade deadline. That it's less than a year that this finals team has even had a chance to get back there. And they've re-upped with Klay Thompson. They've sort of reworked things with Najee Marshall. Like, it's just the reason this wasn't on anyone's radar is it just makes no sense. I mean, we can dig into the layers of how maybe it does, but on the surface level, I think the reason this is such a crazy trade is it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And, especially like the timing is just so weird to me. Again, Luka's still out right now, dealing with an injury, has been out for quite some time this season. Was still playing at a fucking like an MVP level coming into the year, before the injury. And, Kyrie Irving and the rest of the supporting cast over there in Dallas have been kind of holding it down. And, they're still in that playoff mix firmly. Like, I don't think that they're really at a risk of falling out of that, top 10 by any means. You would just assume that, you get Luka back. Maybe again, you could argue the best player in the world. Things will probably be hunky-dory. They'll be all right. Just calm down. Everybody, just let it play out. Injuries happen. And here we are with them unloading Luka to the NBA's darling of the Lakers. Yes. And there, before we even break down the trade from an analytical standpoint, this is just the what we're being fed and told right now from the insiders and the rumors of why this even broke down, and that Luka didn't know, and that AD didn't know, and LeBron
nobody knew.
And that is crazy to me. First off, that there's nobody with their fingers in the pot here. I LeBron is the emperor. He is reigning over everything. He has his finger on the button at all times. But I don't know if LeBron would have even made this move. Honestly, again, we're gonna talk about the fit with Luka next to LeBron in a little bit here. But like, this just seems like something that it's a no-brainer, I think, for the Lakers with the situation that they're in. Yep. The Mavericks, from what we've heard from their management and their front office and the ownership, is that Luka, they don't trust him because of these nagging injuries that he's kind of had in his young career. And then apparently him not being in shape, him not being conditioned enough. I heard the rumor, I think it was Tim McMahon, that Luka's pushing 270 right now, which is like...
Sounds like me.
That's like Zion level, man. Like... This is I don't know if I believe 270. That sounds way like he would be fucking rolling in with the James Harden fat suit if that's the case, man. Like 270.
Well, we haven't seen him.
Huge.
We haven't seen him for a few weeks, so I think it's probably like that extra however many pounds of the injury weight. Like last time we saw him on
it's
the court,
weight.
I don't.
He'll sweat it out.
Well, exactly. I don't think that we've seen him actually play on the court at 270 this year. Well, I don't understand. Is that really news to people that Luka starts seasons out of shape and that he looks a little bigger? Like, that's been happening
now
for years.
Well, that's the problem with Jokic forever, and now no one talks about it. They don't care.
No, because he's super durable. I mean, that is one thing that you sort of give Jokic over Luka is the durability factor. Luka is hurt quite a bit, but like, sure, you can say all that, but are you, like... Why are we talking about it? It feels like you're lumping him into like a Zion conversation. Zion
hasn't close.
But Zion hasn't done fucking shit for his team.
No,
Luka
no.
has held up his end of the bargain for a 25-year-old kid still to have taken the Mavericks to the conference finals when he was 23 and then to the finals last year at 25. Like, do you know how rare that is? Like in NBA history to have someone that young?
He was injured, team all the playing way through an injury, well, yes. All of last year's playoffs.
Yes, yes, he was completely banged up, still playing at a high level, still found ways to win. So I don't understand how you can make the argument that you don't trust him when he literally has taken you to places where you have not been since Dirk. And you can even, like, I mean, you can say, I mean, again, going back to Mark Cuban, like, Mark Cuban thinks that Luka is better than Dirk. And I think when you're looking at especially the start of their career, it's a no-brainer. Luka is 25 years old and has been first team All NBA 5 times. Like, that is absolutely unbelievable. And the way that he's overachieved to this point in his career, it's insane to me that you can then jump from the fact that he's a bit of a diva, and yes, he's overweight and doesn't take his conditioning seriously and is hurt a lot, to that being an issue that's going to preclude you from winning on a team led by him, when he's just proven last year within 2024 that he can take a team all the way to the finals. Like, I just want to know what the Lakers the Mavericks brass think that Mavericks team would have been last year without Luka in the playoffs.
Yeah, like, honestly, yeah.
Would they have made it out of the first round? No, they would have lost against to the Clippers.
Yeah, no. Well, they almost did lose to the Clippers anyway. Well,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it was closer than it ultimately kind of was. Like, I don't think the Mavericks were at risk of losing that series, but without Luka, absolutely. So I think it's just delusional that the Mavericks think that they can get anyone on board with this argument. Like, I understand being a little bit weary of giving a guy like Luka the supermax and saying, we're going to put all of our eggs in your basket. But, like, what the fuck else are they going to get the chance to draft someone as talented as him down the
if
line?
You're like, not, if you're not going to give Luka Doncic the supermax, who the fuck is getting the supermax? It makes no sense.
I know. And I mean, it's not like he's the only one, the only superstar, only MVP caliber guy who's had issues staying on the court. I mean, look at Embiid. Look at even Giannis. Giannis in the Bucks.
Hey,
I mean,
James Harden.
You talk about James prime. Harden. Like, Giannis obviously won the chip in 2021. Since then, they've been disappointing in the playoffs every year. Like, I don't understand what fucking standard you're holding Luka to as a guy, yes, with flaws, but like to fully just trade him away at this point is just, I just think it's insanity. I honestly think it's like malfeasance.
It still feels real. No, like, I keep looking at this, like, the graphic of him in a Lakers jersey, and I'm like, this looks so fake. This looks, I mean, it is fake, but like, it won't look right on the court ever. I don't think again, people said this would be a David Stern veto. I think
absolutely. I think different situation.
Obviously. It's nuts. Fucking Nico, the GM there over for Dallas, I think might be actually an absolute idiot, unqualified like for it. The position.
He's a Nike exec, for God's sake.
And I was reading up, some people were sharing stuff on Twitter. Shout out to whoever was the one that put out the little quote from it. He was also the one that spearheaded the push to sign Steph Curry in 2013, and he called him Seth. And then they showed him a presentation that was supposed to be for Kevin Durant instead, and made Steph Curry go to Under Armour. So already a bad start. If that's what you're,
I would love to know what that presentation, like, how bad of a screw up that was. Like, did the presentation start like a video that says, "Hey Kevin, we'd love to have you"? Yeah. Or like, how bad was it?
Sorry, yeah, Seth. That was supposed to say Seth.
That's insanity. Yeah, he seems like an idiot, at least based on this line of decision making. Yes.
Well, and the other part of it, other than the health and the fitness level, was that we need defense. We need some more defense. Okay, go get some fucking defensive role players then. You don't need to let go of your 35 point per game, 10 and 8 per night guy. Like, it's just you can replace. Yeah. You can find fucking guys off the fucking scrap pile that can give you.
They
solid
already
defense
did
for
that last
minutes.
Year. How do you think they got to the finals?
Yeah,
they already did it.
And then you let Derek Jones walk. You could have kept him around, who's proven to be one of the better defensive players, especially perimeter defensive players, and worked really
great
well
on
next
the Clippers.
To Luka. And you fucking you let him walk. So, this is insane territory that we're approaching. But now that we've kind of run through the background and our kind of just guttural reactions to this, let's talk about this trade, actually on-court basketball results. Let's talk about Luka Doncic and his fit here with the Lakers. I think that the haul that they got back for AD and Max Christie and then that 2029 first-round pick Like, I mean, I it's understated to say that it's a steal. Yeah. Like it's like I don't know what you would even be able to call this. Yes, it makes somewhat sense in a way, but also it's crazy because like I don't know if Luka on this team, like if him and LeBron are gonna be able to still push their way to the finals or anything, especially in the West. I still don't know if I would say this is like my title pick. I don't think I would consider them that high at this point. Obviously, I would also like to see them paired up because Luka next to LeBron, like we always, whenever we talk about, you know, the way to build teams around guys, like those are the two guys who play the most similar, you know, in the NBA to each other, I would say. And, you know, being that primary ball handling, you know, kind of point guard slash small forward, you know, takes in a lot, majority of the shots as well. Like everything runs through them. And having both of them on the same team, for this season, I don't really know how that's going to work. Like I'm sure they're going to be fucking gangbusters. Like, I mean, trying to stop LeBron and Luka is going to be, you know, a task on itself for anybody every single night. But I don't think that this move will really help them too much. You know, in the grand scheme of things, like I think you could argue that, like, obviously the fit with Anthony Davis and LeBron makes more sense on court wise, you know, as far as like the actual game plan of it all works. The upside is obviously higher with Luka. And then you're also, you know, Max Christie is having a bit of a breakout year as like a role player. You get Maxi Kleba in this trade, who is, you know, he's also, you know, injured right now and he struggled to stay healthy the last couple of years. But like, that's a really good get. Really great, you know, role player addition to a team that's really thin at the forward slot. Like, fuck, when he comes back, he might be the starting center. Or he'll probably finish games at least. You want to
throw Jackson Hayes in there, yes.
Well, and that's their big thing. They don't even have any center depth. Like, it was that was one thing we talked about before. They were looking to get another center, and apparently they are still looking for a rim-protecting slasher center, and it's like...
Now they really need one.
Yeah, like, they're pretty fucked in that sense. Yes. And then, you know, you get Markieff Morris in there. He's not going to fucking play, but, I mean, like, you get a veteran guy. He can kind of play in a bunch of different positions, so it's whatever. He just makes the money work. But overall, I think that, for me, my biggest takeaway was this move was made to prepare for the post-LeBron era. And now, whatever happens this year, the Lakers don't care. They're going to sell 1 billion fucking Luka Doncic Lakers jerseys. This is the most talked about, you know, sports move of probably the year, and it's only February 2nd. Like, this is everything the Lakers like to be in, right in the limelight, all the attention, everything going towards them. So I think on court, the Lakers, you know, ceiling, who knows? Maybe they could push to the finals. I mean, if you have literally arguably the greatest player of all time and, you know, a guy who is, you know, has all the skills to be another, you know, all-time great player. Who knows, maybe they could make it work. I don't know if they've got the depth around them. I mean, like Austin Reeves, like we've said, probably not good enough to be your third best player on a championship contending team, but yeah, it's going to be tough to beat LeBron and Luka in a 7-game series, but I'm not quite ready to put my stamp on them saying, you know, they're a total title contender, but I definitely think they've got potential, but I think they've got at least one or two moves to make still if they really want to compete, because that bench is pretty doo-doo.
100%. Like, they need, first and foremost, they need a starting center. They're now in the same position the Pelicans have been in all year. Like, they just don't have someone reliable there. And you know, luckily,
see you soon.
Well, luckily they have now until Thursday to make something happen. And I think they should be motivated to do it, because here's the bottom line. Like, Anthony Davis and LeBron James 100% fit better than LeBron James and Luka Doncic. I think, though, all things considered, as long as Luka can come back and be healthy relatively soon, and last we heard was that, you know, he was targeting around the All-Star break, I think the Lakers are better. Like, and I know that sounds kind of crazy because you've now lost your defensive anchor, and defense was already your weakness. So it makes sense that the Lakers defense is going to plummet even further. So they, you know, that was the thing they kind of mainly needed addressed, and they've got worse there. But I just think that, and you know, I think it's clear, anyone who listens to this podcast, I'm a big Luka Doncic fan, but to me, Luka is like Nikola Jokic in that he's one of the few guys in the league who is just like the ultimate floor raiser of a team. Like, I don't think Luka led team can be that bad, because he is so good at controlling pace, winning close games for you, you know, at the down the stretch of them. He's one of the, you know, the best closers that we've seen. He's so great at finding out how to get other guys involved and bring the best out of them. Like, think of that Mavericks team that went to the conference finals in 2022. They were fucking shit, like, in comparison to other good conference finals teams. He was so, like, he was just so great at finding shooters and you know, putting you know, with the lineups that he had out there to deal with, how to find guys who were, you know, sneaking backdoor lob. He's one of the best, if not the best, lob passer that the game has right now. Like, it's not just about the scoring that he brings. It's about how he molds everyone else to sort of come along with him and just drives winning. And I just think he's going to do that for LA. And if you have, as one of those guys, fucking LeBron, who is going to be able to get, like, I can see LeBron sort of embrace more of like a Draymond role in this scenario, where he's the one catching the ball out of like the Luka double team. And he's going to have 4-on-3s, one of the most gifted passers that we've ever seen. Then LeBron's going to be able to turn his fucking supercomputer brain on and find whoever's in the corner, or, you know, dive himself to the rim. Like, it's, I think offensively the fit is going to work better than people think. Like, I understand it's not perfect, but I just think those two guys are so smart and they're so good at getting other guys involved that they're going to figure out a way to get wins here. And we just talked about the Lakers recently. Like, they've got a decent cushion here. They're almost 10 games above 500. Oh, yeah. They had a nice win against the Knicks, even without AD on Saturday night here. So, like, I really think LeBron at this point is going to say, look, we've got Luka now. I'm going to be motivated. The other thing, too, is if Luka can take control of all of the sort of offensive burden, maybe LeBron can go back to playing a little bit more defense. Like, maybe he can say, look, I don't have to, you know, save all my energy for the offensive side of things. I can actually defend. So yeah, bottom line, I think the Lakers are going to be better than people expect. But that being said, for them to get into that sort of contention sort of, you know, level, which I agree, I don't think they'll, no matter what they do, I don't think they can quite get there this year. But if they want to be the best version they can be, they got to trade for a center. And then, yeah, some more wing defensive depth would be nice, too. The one thing I'm targeting, if I'm looking at the Lakers roster, you mentioned his name, I don't think you need Austin Reeves anymore. Like, before, I would have been hesitant. I would have been hesitant to trade Austin Reeves if you were going to say, look, we've got LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, he was a good, reliable offensive piece. The defense, we know, was an issue, but offensively, it was a good fit. Even though, like I've been saying for months, he's not, if he's your third best player, you're not a championship team. And I still believe that, which is why, I do think you can move him, maybe flip him for a center, or a center and a wing, like somehow. He's on a pretty team friendly contract that I think a lot of guys will be interested in, or teams, I should say, like a team like Orlando. Like, I think they would love to have a guy like Austin Reeves in there.
He'd be a good fit there.
Thinking about like a team like even Houston, if they wanted some more guard depth, some more playmaking, and just some more offense in general. So there's things maybe the Lakers could explore.
Hey, you mentioned Orlando there. Maybe they could make something worth Austin Reeves, KCP back to the Lakers. Like, KCP would actually be the perfect fit there at the two. Just a guy who plays defense, roam the perimeter. Perfect fit.
And maybe throw in a big. I mean, the Orlando does kind of have enough big, like Batadze. Maybe would they be willing to part with him?
Him or Wendell? Yeah. Or like Jonathan Isaac. I mean, I think they'd probably Jonathan be happy Isaac. With him. He can play the center.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a bigger contract, which makes it complicated, but you could maybe swing something. Even Mo Wagner. I mean, I don't know if they want to split up the Wagners, but you know, you there's things I think the Lakers could do to actually vault them into a place where, at least personally, I think of them as closer to a contender than I ever would have with you know, AD and LeBron based team this year. So I'm going to be interested to see what they do these next few days.
Yeah, well, and the last thing I think I'll say, too, when I look at this, like, we've talked about it for years, you know, especially, you know, since the inception of this podcast, has always been in the LeBron AD era. Every year, LeBron always says, this is the year that I'm taking that step back. I'm going to let Anthony Davis be the big dog. He's going to be the number one guy. He's going to be the guy who drives everything. And that never really is true. It's always still LeBron. I think LeBron might actually have the trust in Luka to, like, take that step back and really be a 40-year-old, be the oldest guy in the NBA and say, you know what? I don't have to fucking go in there and dog it every single, you know, possession on defense. I can, you know, maybe put a little bit of effort here and there, because I'm not going to have to run the entirety of the offense. I'm not going to have to bark orders. I have a superstar guy, young, in his prime, that can do all that shit for me, and I can chill until the fourth quarter offensively. I will still get my points. I will still get my assists and boards and all that shit. And then when the playoffs come, a well-rested LeBron, motivated, like I do think, like, again, nobody will want to play them. As much as I say, like, I don't think, like, I'm thinking with the smart, like, the analytical part of my brain when I'm saying all this. But in my heart, I'm like, I could see them go to the finals. Like, it's that, it's possible. Like, I will never underestimate LeBron. And I will, I again, like we said, we've seen Luka take way worse teams to, you know, deep playoff runs in the past. So I think it's 100% possible that they can make a run to at least the conference finals. It'll be tough. It'll be really hard. Because like we said, you know, the defense has taken a pretty big hit without AD out there. But yeah, I'm really, really intrigued to see how this will all go. Hopefully Luka will be back. I believe I've heard the Lakers are hoping to get him on the court before the All-Star break. So that would be awesome. Only a couple weeks away then from seeing Luka's LA debut. But yeah, it's madness. Luka LeBron, we'll see how it goes. Can LeBron get ring number 5?
I'm rooting for it now. Like we just talked about in our group chat. Look, there's very few things that would make me root for LeBron to get his ring. But to get another ring, I would be happy with it in this situation. So go Lake Show, I suppose. And yeah, I mean, just to reiterate again, you mentioned it going in. This is a no-brainer for the Lakers. Like the fact that you already had a tough time sort of envisioning how you were going to move on from this AD LeBron era. If the fucking Mavericks call you and say, hey, we'll give you Luka, all you have to do is this, this, and this.
Yeah,
my God, it's like the easiest yes ever. And yeah, you don't need to consult LeBron. You don't need to consult anyone. And you're giving up one first round pick. You didn't even have to empty out your picks or give up any swaps. Like that's the other crazy part to this that, you know, we'll dive into more, but like, it's just, it's such a no-brainer for the Lakers. So yeah, I'm all in from their perspective.
Let's talk about it from the Mavericks perspective now. So again, them getting Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and that 2029 first round pick. First thing I want to talk about here, just because, you know, you were mentioning it there, it is really funny to me too, because again, this was like this trade this Lakers first round pick 2029 has been kind of dangled as like this huge piece of trade bait for so many seasons now, because everyone, 2029, it was like, okay, well, you know, AD is going to be, 34, 33. His contract's coming to an end. Will he want to stay in LA when LeBron's retired? How is this team going to look? They don't have any other future draft assets. Like, things don't look good. Now that, like, I don't think that the fucking Mavericks really thought this through. So by 2029, Luka is there. They're not going to be shit. They're good for the next, as long as they've got Luka, they will be a pretty tough team to beat. Like, they will be competitive.
Yep.
That draft pick, good job. It's not even going to be a fucking lottery pick. Something crazy has happened.
Like, I 100% agree. Yep.
Because the Lakers are going to, they're going to clear cap space too. You know, LeBron retires, the AD hit's gone. Luka also now is good. Like, when I can't wait to see these two teams play, Luka will actually score 80 points. Cause he's getting fucked out of $180 million. Cause he can't qualify for the Supermax, that the Mavericks could have offered him. So, I'm really interested to see that, but yeah, they're going to have tons of cap space to play with here. Guys are going to, like, you're telling me the Lakers were already such a huge market that players want to go to. You're telling me they aren't going to want to go play with Luka now? Like, it's 100%. Like, they are going to be, you know, the Lakers are going to be a championship contender for the next 5, 6, 7 years. That's insane to say, because, again, we were all expecting the Lakers just to be the empire to fall, to be the demise, similar to what we saw for quite a few years there between, you know, Kobe retiring, even when Kobe, his last couple of years were pretty rough there in LA, a lot of people forget. But, you know, all the way through until they had LeBron there that second year and they make the trade for Anthony Davis, then everything kind of starts developing into, you know, that championship caliber team. But now they're just going to continue being it. And that pick is worthless.
100%. And which is, the other crazy thing. I mean, the other pick that the Lakers could have traded was the 2031 one, which maybe you could talk yourself into it maybe being more valuable, because then Luka's further down in his career, maybe he's seeing a bit of a decline physically and you're like, maybe that pick will be better. But even that one, I don't think is guaranteed to be good. Like, I really don't think either one is that desirable. And so, you know, maybe that's why that didn't really factor into the Mavs' decision making here. But like, yeah, just to put it in context again, just I know we've talked about how crazy this is again, but you just mentioned Kobe's last years there. Like, this would be like if somehow the Lakers, you know, just got offered like Kevin Durant during Kobe's last few years. Like, that's the caliber where Luka is at compared to Durant back then. Like, it's just, yeah, it's unbelievable. But like, yeah, from the Mavs perspective, I can't believe that this is what you are okay getting for Luka. Again, when you've the reporting is you targeted Anthony Davis specifically, made one single call to the Lakers when you could have got like the haul of picks. If Rudy Gobert is worth four or whatever he got, if
Mikal Bridges like five is worth
five, like that's got to be like 8-9 with fucking every swap that you have. I mean, like, why wouldn't you go that route? I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's really mind-boggling. Another thing, you know, getting Anthony Davis is just so funny to me. Literally the man that we call Brittle Bones Boy on this podcast.
Yeah, Luka can't stay healthy. Good luck with Anthony Davis.
Like, who's old? He's fucking 9 years
31.
Old. He's 6 years older. Like, it's just, and yeah, I would say has way worse injury luck, way worse injury history than Luka's had ever. Like, I think that's just insane to me. They're like, oh, well, this is a win now move. What the fuck? What was last year? What was what has this all been then? Like, I'm just so lost. Like, so again, if this team, if this was 2015,
I've been telling people, this is the way we talk about this, the syndrome of like 2014 syndrome. If you have Clay, Kyrie and Anthony Davis in 2014, my God, you're killing it. But
that's the best team in the league. You're not beating 3. Like, no. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense anymore. Like, yes, the fit on the court will be good, and they will be a good team. I'm not saying that the Mavericks are going to be bad. They're going to stay in that top six of the West, I'm sure, or you know, be hovering around there. Like, Anthony Davis is having an awesome year. He's scoring the rock really well. He'll probably be one of the top options on this team. Kyrie is reliable. But like we said, like, Klay Thompson has been pretty shit for the last couple seasons.
Yeah, he's not the real Klay Thompson anymore.
No, he is a guy who can shoot threes, catch fire once every five games. Defense is pretty meh. And then you got a bunch of role players.
He doesn't close games for them, really. He doesn't close games
for them. Josh Green. Not Josh Green. Quentin Grimes.
Hardy.
Jane Hardy. Grimes. Yeah, it's not better. And, you know, you get Max Christie, who, again, now you have another young wing that kind of plays the same way as all these other guys you've got. So I don't know how they think this made them any better, especially, you know, not just for the short term. Like, short term, I think they probably have less of a ceiling than they did before.
Absolutely.
Like,
I think they unequivocally got worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't know why they were like obsessed with getting Anthony Davis. We need a big man. We need a big man to play defense. We need a big man to play defense. You have Gafford and Lively, two of the best rim protectors in the fucking NBA. Yes, Lively's out for a little bit now. So what happens when he comes back? So Lively comes off the bench, or Gafford.
AD finally gets his center. AD will never not play with a center now.
Yeah, he's going to be the power forward, and then PJ Washington's going to have to play the three, and then Clay is at the two. Like, I think he's
welcome to 2014.
Clay is too slow to play the two at this point in his career. Absolutely, he's been playing the fucking three here. I don't think that PJ Washington is like athletic enough really to, like, he's got some bounce, but like, he's not going to be able to move like well enough as a three. Like, he's the perfect stretch four at this point. I don't know why they would fuck with this so badly. Like, and again, then they give up Maxi Kleba, another good role player off their bench. Like, I don't understand the move at all. I would have made, it would have made more sense if you wanted to trade Luka for fucking Rudy Gobert. At least, like, then it's like, okay, that's a guy who literally is just there to play defense, but you probably didn't have to fucking trade him for that. It's nuts to me. And before I pass it over to you to, you know, give a little bit more of your insight. So again, these are older guys, you know, 80s, 31. It's assumed that they're probably going to throw him an offer 5 years, which again is fucking hilarious.
Jesus Christ. Max deal, yeah, you're going to lock up AD? You're worried about a contract aging badly. My God.
Yeah. And Kyrie is, you know, out for, you know, I'm waiting to see what Kyrie thinks of this. Like, I can't imagine he's happy.
He might become a Nazi again, man. I wouldn't be surprised.
Honestly, this is the time for him to do it. It's in. But the craziest thing, So again, 2 years from now, do you know that the Dallas Mavericks don't own the first round pick? Do you know who owns it?
Who?
Guess.
Oh my God. The fucking Hawks or some shit? Who owns
it? The Oklahoma Lakers, City Thunder.
Oh, great. There we go. Yeah.
They've got every fucking pick. They knew. Well, of course they do. They've got every fucking pick that's going to be worth something, man. And they got it like 8 years ago. Yeah. I mean, not 8 years. No, it's 8 years ago. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just nuts. Yes. Like, this just really bewilders me. The more I'm talking about it, like, again, on the surface when I heard it last night, I was like, okay, kind of even. The more and more I look into it, I'm like, fuck, Dallas really messed this one up. Like, royally messed this up.
Well, yeah, and like again, it's the same way I feel about the Lakers, who you can look at the fit on paper. Trust me, they're going to be better than you think. Again, as long as LeBron can stay relatively healthy and Luka can get back on the court, I think people are going to be surprised by how bad this Dallas team might be when they just don't have Luka at all anymore. I mean, we talk about
chemistry's going to be fucked. Like that team can't be happy.
Well, okay, to that point. We need to play an early version of Who's the Big Dog. Kyrie Irving, it's been very clearly pointed out over the years, he is not a guy you want leading your team. He is a great sort of second best guy because he can fill that leadership role in a pinch. But the second that you rely on him to lead full time and be the best player on your team, trust me, you do not want that. The exact same thing is true of Anthony Davis. Do you think either of these guys like is really
Anthony Davis hasn't had a Batman? Do it since fucking New Orleans.
Well, exactly. And look how that turned out. I mean, those teams never got anywhere. I understand they weren't the best of teams, but like really good players who can lead, like Luka Doncic, take your team to heights that like you don't expect them to early on. That's the sign of like a really great player who's better than you know, you can even tell by the stats, even when their stats are great. It's just like how much they drive winning as the leader of a team. Kyrie and AD are the worst two guys to say, okay, we're going to do that. And what? They're going to do it sort of by committee. Like sometimes it'll be Kyrie, sometimes it'll be AD. Like I understand. I'm not disputing that they're two great players, two of the best players of the modern era, two of like, I think the most skilled players at their positions ever.
But
like, again, I think the Mavericks got a little bit delusional. Nico got a little bit delusional and got so annoyed with all of Luka's antics with the flopping and the complaining and the injuries and the out of shape that he forgot he forgot that this is Luka's team. Everything runs through Luka, and there's a reason that they made it to the finals and have been so good these last few years. It's because of him. It's not just you don't just catch this magic in the bottle out of the sky no matter what. Like we've seen other teams and GMs try to construct these teams with, again, I mean, this is something I've been vocal about too, that just doesn't make sense. You're a big three now, if you want to throw Clay in there, which I don't think anyone is, but your big two are over 30. Like that's hard to do. And you go down the line, like your next best contributor in their 20s probably is PJ Washington. Like, I don't think that's good enough as like a young sort of version and young contingent of this team. You know, like I just think you're relying way too much on old guys, or at least older guys. Like I understand Kyrie and AD. Like AD's a all-star this year. Kyrie, I had as an all-star this year. They're not over the hill by any means, but like, I think that's going to happen fast. Like these guys aren't going to be that good, like at a high level for that much longer. At least history tells us that. So I just think it's crazy. And not to mention, like, it's hard to really coalesce a team through the back half of a year. This is a completely different team now. Like you are going to like, and think about it, in the playoffs last year when Luka was out there on the court, that's what everyone was keyed in on, and Kyrie could you look at that, like Timberwolves series in the conference finals, like Luka was sort of ganged up on. I think, you know, that it wasn't the best series statistically for him. Kyrie looked awesome. Flip the script now. If these great playoff defenses can completely zone in on Kyrie Irving, he's going to have fucking stinkers. I think he's going to be really, really not good. And then you have AD to sort of, he's going to be sort of your release valve with the amount that AD floats in and out of games, both regular season and playoffs. And then who else do you have? Who else are you fucking going to go create a shot or go make something happen? Like, it's just, I really think that the Mavs got over their skis and they thought, look, we can do this little sleight of hand, get a really good big in here to go with already our great bigs. And we've got this massive lineup of, like you're saying, PJ Washington at the three. I think they underestimate how hard it is to win in the NBA and how hard it is to win a winning, make a winning formula, and how sometimes it's not always explicable. Like sometimes things work on paper, but like they just don't translate. You had a translated, proven winning formula that you just threw away. And you know, sure, maybe I'm granting that maybe the Mavs will be good and maybe they can make like another deep run. But I would bet the other way, that they're going to be that they're going to be worse than people think. Because I don't believe in that sort of big two, if you can call it that. I think that's the wrong move to make. You mentioned Max Christie again. The first round pick does not matter. Might as well throw that out the window. You did not get that because we agree it's not going to be that good. And Max Christie, like, I've been having to hear a bunch of people on podcasts the last couple days since this broke talk about how good Max Christie is. I agree with you. He's having a bit of breakout season. Max Christie's not going to be an all-star, okay? He's fine.
It took him fucking three years to get to this point. It's not like he's a fucking rookie that just came in here and is shooting okay. Like, yeah, he's not doing shit. No. Maybe he'll hang around the league for a bit, but I don't see him being any kind of long tenured piece on this fucking Mavs roster by any means.
No. So that's the thing. And I mean, you've also already got all these injury issues. Like Derek Lively may or may not come back as himself at all this year. That's another thing you've got to contend with. So both in the here and now and long-term, I mean, especially long-term, this is an insane move to make to trade a 25-year-old for a 31-year-old and not even get any draft picks when the 25-year-old is universally recognized as better than the 31-year-old. But even in the short term, even right now, this year and next year, like I don't think this puts the Mavs at the level of the Thunder or even the fucking Nuggets or like any of these contending teams.
I don't know if I would take them over Memphis or Houston. Like maybe Houston. I don't think I would take them over Memphis though.
No. At this point, I wouldn't. Memphis has been so fucking impressive. Like,
I feel like the Mavericks have a lot of holes. Like, I think they're actually easily beatable.
Yes, especially in the middle. Like, you have Kyrie on one end of the point guard, and you have AD in the front court. Who are you scared of in the middle of that, both offensively or defensively? Nobody. Like, I love PJ. But he might, the jury's still out. He might only be good against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then he might be more like a sort of your average NBA player. Like, I really think the thing about Luka, look at what Luka has done throughout his career, not even in the NBA, the NBA we've talked about. With that Slovenian national team, they almost beat France and set up a fucking gold medal game with the U.S. in the, I think it was 2020 Olympics, the one that was postponed till 2021, with a bunch of guys no one had ever fucking heard of. Like, Luka has been doing this his whole life, working with what he has and bringing the best out of guys. That is not something that Kyrie does, and sure as hell is not something that Anthony Davis does. So I think it's like what Larry Bird said when he was a GM about trading for guys who have played with LeBron. Don't trade for him thinking he's going to be as good as he was playing with LeBron as he is on your team. He's going to be significantly worse because players like LeBron just make all these guys look so much better than they are. And so I agree. I think the Mavs do have holes and they're not going to be this awesome juggernaut type team that they were with Luka at the helm. I don't believe it.
Well, that's it. We're going to talk about
that's all we got.
Another massive trade, Jordan. We're still reeling from one, and we get another huge notification here. Maybe we were the first podcast to cover this because it only went down like literally 20 minutes like before we hopped on to record. So here it is. Three-team deal. The San Antonio Spurs getting De'Aaron Fox alongside Jordan McLaughlin. The Kings get Zach LaVine, Sidy Sissoko, three first-round picks, one from Charlotte in 2025, one from the Spurs in 2027, and one from the T-Wolves in 2031, as well as three second-round picks. The Bulls get Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin Herter, and they get their 2025 first-round pick back from the Spurs. Crazy. Not nearly as wild, obviously, as Luka and AD, but still a huge, huge trade. Kind of a surprise to see Zach LaVine thrown into the mix here. Things have been a little bit quiet on his front since, again, talking with guys who have been in the trade mill for two seasons now. It's kind of, things get stale. You don't see it potentially happening. We talked about the De'Aaron Fox trade rumors recently on the show as well. In fact, even, you know, giving hypothetical trades out there for a De'Aaron Fox to San Antonio fit. And, you know, let's talk about that fit first here, Jordan. So the Spurs getting De'Aaron Fox along with, you know, Jordan McLaughlin, play some backup, you know, point guard minutes for them as well, potentially here. Yep. It's going to be an interesting move. We both kind of said we weren't sure. Like, obviously, De'Aaron Fox is one of the best young point guards in the league. You know, he's a one-of-a-kind type of talent, obviously, with the speed, the athleticism, the slashing ability, and, you know, the three-point shot is getting a little bit more reliable. Still not a sharp shooter by any means, but one of the better, you know, all-star caliber guards that we have in the NBA. And now we have him, you know, with Victor Wembanyama, one of the, if not the hottest prospect in the entire NBA for, you know, the foreseeable future. But do the two of them really work together? I'm not really sure. I'm a little lukewarm on this trade in terms of the Spurs. I don't think the Spurs, you know, gave up too much. You know, a couple picks here and there, albeit. But I do think that, you know, they can make a push now for the playoffs this season, but it's still going to be tough. I don't know if they're going to crack into that top six. I think they might still just be a play-in team because, again, you know, the Kings with De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis couldn't get into, you know, the top six. I don't know if him and Wembanyama can.
Yeah, well, we're going to see. I think this is the biggest sort of test of De'Aaron Fox and who he really is. Cause again, he's been with the Kings his whole career. He was a big part of what got them that three seed, you know, finally broke that playoff drought and has been what has made them a competitive team these last few years. But again, there still are those questions out there. It's like, how good really is he? And you know, how effective can he be as the first or second best player on a team? He is with a guy who, at least for him and his skill set, fits so much better than Sabonis does. Like, that's not to say Sabonis wasn't a good fit with him. Offensively, they were great. But again, Sabonis is no great defender. Wembanyama obviously is going to win DPOY in the next fucking 10 unless something happens. So, you know, he's one of the best, if not the best defenders in the NBA on that back line. And then you have De'Aaron Fox sort of running the point for the offense. Again, we talked about this hypothetical recently. I think it does make sense sort of big picture, but when you get down to the nitty gritty, like, you would like a better shooter out there when you're talking about De'Aaron Fox at the point guard position. Like, he's not the greatest knockdown guy, especially as Victor develops and he has the ball in his hands more. You want someone who can knock it down, you know, when he kicks it out. So, you know, that's not the greatest. And then again, Victor's going to cover up a lot of, you know, defensive issues that the rest of the Spurs have, but you would ideally like someone who can sort of defend at the point of attack a little better than De'Aaron Fox does. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's lukewarm is how I would sort of think about it. But like you said, the price isn't crazy. And you're getting a guy at a depressed price here, there, where you can sort of say, look, we want to put win now moves around Victor right away. We think he's ready. And I think that the Spurs should be applauded for that. I mean, yeah, this is what we've all been asking them to do, and considering the circumstances, I think this is a smart move. And I think the fit isn't bad by any means. Like, I think they can find a way to make it work. But yeah, we will learn how good, how clutch, how much can De'Aaron Fox really sort of put himself in that conversation of like the best guards in the NBA? Because right now, I think the jury's still out on that. He can kind of go either way. You know, I think If you're the Spurs, like, presumably you're going to give him his next deal here down the line. We'll see what comes of that. And then, so you're locked in. The other part of it that makes me more lukewarm as opposed to hot on this one is the age. Like, De'Aaron Fox, he's 27 years old and Victor's much younger than that. You hope that this doesn't kind of backfire where you've got a guy who's, you know, pushing 30. Victor's still very, very much in his prime. And you've got a guy on a big contract who really isn't getting it done for you. But well,
and
I think
they're going to be giving him a 5-year extension. It's the only way that this trade even goes down, right? He wants that 5-year deal. The Spurs want to give it to him, and the Kings didn't. So they're locking it this in. It's Wemby and Fox for the year on out.
Right. So that could work, but I'm a little wary about that fit necessarily being great. And remember, you've got to win right now because you've got to win while Victor's on his rookie contract, because otherwise, if you got Fox and Wemby, the second you got to pay Wemby, then you're really losing a lot of flexibility with how you can fill the rest of that roster out. So I'd say fucking get on it right now. Maybe even look to make other moves. I mean, if you've got Stephon Castle, who you really believe in there right now, like you don't really need Chris Paul anymore. Not that Chris Paul is going to get you that much on the trade market.
You were going to say you were lukewarm. You were mad that he's going to be hitting the bench, because I don't think they're going to play the two of them together.
Yeah. And you know, I think even a guy who's sort of been in the league for a while, like De'Aaron Fox, and is 27, can still benefit from learning from Chris Paul and playing with him. I do believe that. But like, ultimately, I think if I'm the Spurs, I'm looking to make another move, sort of bring another more proven guy in to play in between Wembanyama and Fox. Because right now you've got you've got Keldon Johnson, you've got Harrison Barnes, like you've got a bunch of guys who aren't really moving the needle. Yeah, Vassell. Like, I'd like one more guy in there, because if you're going to go all in, don't like take a half step in and then hover in the doorway. Really go all in and say, look, we're going to try and win a first round series here. Because otherwise, you're risking kind of making a marginal upgrade that's not really going to change your fortunes that much. But overall, I'm good with it for the Spurs.
But it is going to be tough for them, though, because they didn't give up too much, but they did give up a good amount of draft capital to get to this point. So we'll have to see what they can kind of
And that MacGyver. Charlotte pick this coming draft for the Kings, that's a good one. And unprotected as far as I know, right?
That it just says 3 first round picks, so as far as I understand, it should be unprotected.
That could be juicy.
That's going to be a top 10 pick. In this draft lottery, the way we've seen guys shoot up, or whether teams shoot up in the lottery draft, that could be a huge deal. We're talking about that one, so let's address it. The Sacramento Kings, again, Zach LaVine getting in there, City Sissoko. Not really a name.
I'm gonna say, I legitimately don't know who that is, but good for him. Congrats.
How does this affect Dink Pate's legacy? Three first round picks, and a 3 second round.
That's what the Lakers need, man. Dink Pate.
That's maybe that could work, or maybe the Mavericks. They need a nice swingman. I believe he's a shooting guard. I don't know. The Kings getting Zach LaVine. I think that this is a decent get as a replacement for De'Aaron Fox, at least offensively. He can go out there, he can get buckets with the best of them. You're not upgrading defensively, probably maybe even a little bit worse now defensively. De'Aaron Fox isn't, we said before, not like a perimeter stopper by any means, but LaVine has kind of been known to be a bit of a turnstile here and there. But you get a little bit bigger with him. But one of the weirdest things that I kind of see with this trade is, like, we've seen LaVine and DeMar DeRozan work together. Yes, it doesn't work. They had that little run there in the middle of the season, whatever that was, 2022, where it looked like the Bulls maybe could go for a little bit of a run. That could have been, was that 2021? I don't know. It was quite a while ago. It's a move. They will still be able to hover around the play-in. Who knows? Maybe they can make it kind of work, and they can get into the kind of closer to the 7-8 and not the 10-9 spot that they're in right now. But I think the Spurs are right on their heels. I think they're probably the better team right now. Like Sabonis with LaVine, I think, is a really good fit. I like that part of this. But, I mean, DeRozan, we've kind of questioned it. He's had a very hot and cold season already in his first year with Sacramento. So you're here now with brand new head coach. You have a brand new, pretty much starting small forward in DeMar. And they're still kind of figuring his way out there. And now you're
no real point guard, by the way.
Yes. And that's the last thing I was going to say, too. Like, alongside, you also are now bringing in, probably going to be your number two option offensively, who's brand new, middle of the season. And then, you don't have who the hell is starting at point guard. Zach LaVine might be the starting point guard, and they have to move.
I think he will ostensibly be, the guy with the ball in his hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got no,
Monk might be the starting point guard, but I think LaVine will probably be the guy ball handling. I don't think Devin Carter is fucking ready to be the starting point guard on this team. They probably wish they still had Off-Night Mitchell. Maybe we could make something work here.
Absolutely.
Off-Night Mitchell for DeMar DeRozan.
Give us DeMar back. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll work. We'll give you a second round pick. this is an interesting one, but I'll say this. You get Zach LaVine, so you're still going to be competitive. It's still going to be interesting to watch. They're still going to be a really dynamic offensive team. I think that they're going to be a tough team to beat. But you got a shit ton of draft capital now. Like we said, that 2025 Charlotte pick is awesome. 2027 Spurs, not so much. 2031 Timberwolves, that could be juicy. I don't know. Anthony Edwards, I could see saying, you know what, I'm kind of sick in Minneapolis. Their front office hasn't really been managing things too well over there. Rudy Gobert has been known to kind of run amok a little bit. I do think that, you know, the draft capital they got back, like, again, this just makes the Luka Doncic trade even fucking crazier. But three first-round picks, and they're two of the three are pretty juicy. So, I don't hate the trade for the Kings here. I don't think they're going to be super competitive. Don't think that they're going to be a team that you really have to worry about in the playoffs. But they'll still, I think, will be fun to watch. I think they'll be able to have some exciting moments. They'll be competitive every night. But, they're kind of doing a bit of a soft rebuild, which I think is the smart way to go. You got good picks. You'll stay competitive. I would give the Kings like a strong like B+ on this, maybe even an A-. I'm very happy with the way that they were able to pull this out.
Yeah, I agree. Again, I mean, depending on where they go with that point guard spot, like if the idea is to be the best team that you can be now, like, yeah, getting Zach LaVine back sort of in this situation, I think is close to best case scenario, in addition to the draft picks, which sort of sets you up for the future. Like, yeah, I like that in theory. But again, if you are going to say, look, we're just kind of retooling here, we're going to slightly change how we do things, but we want to still make a playoff push, you have to address that point guard spot. You can't
They could take those three picks and they could repurpose them now.
You absolutely could. Yes. I mean, again, I would keep the Charlotte one for sure because that's going to be good. But otherwise I would strongly look at doing that. And you've got guys on this team that you don't need. Like I've been saying now for a while, I don't think you need Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk. Kevin Herter's in this deal. Shout out Kevin Huerter. That notwithstanding, I think there's other guys you can move and maybe get a little bit of an upgrade at point guard, because they're kind of doing a Bulls from a few years ago impression. No point guard because Lonzo was out. You've got LaVine and DeRozan, and then a white European center who doesn't play any defense. Like it's definitely a little bit better, but ultimately, I mean, you mentioned Davion Mitchell there. I think that's where you got to go, like some sort of defensive-minded point guard. It feels like that's kind of a dying breed in today's NBA, but I think that's who you need on the perimeter if you're going to be playing LaVine and DeRozan together, minutes there on the wing. And then you're probably playing Keegan Murray a lot there at the four, which provides you some shooting. Like, again, this is the thing, though. You look at the Kings, like, offense has not been their problem these last few years. They're still, even this year, ninth in offense. They're sitting now 18th in defense. And I think there is potential for that to get even worse. You're looking at just sort of big picture how to fix the Kings this year. You've traded a not great defender for another not great defender, lost your point guard minutes, and you fired Mike Brown. So I don't know how you think your defensive issues are supposed to be fixed by doing all that. But like you said off the top, I agree. Getting LaVine back in this situation, I think, is a good way for them to sort of move forward. I'll be interested to see if they feel like they need to address that point guard position there, because then depending on who you get, if you get a defensive minded guy, I could maybe see this working out, because LaVine has just been such a good shooter recently. Like, he can really provide a lot of that weapon from outside. You've got DeMar there to close games for you. You can get a little two-man game going between LaVine and Sabonis. Like, I could see it happening, but in my mind right now, until they make a move, ultimately they've got a little bit worse, but not that much worse. All things considered, if you've made the decision, you got to trade sort of your franchise point guard, only getting a little bit worse might be the best case scenario here.
Yeah, and then finally, to kind of look at this just from the Bulls perspective quickly, you got to love it. Finally pulling the trigger here. They didn't rush it. They didn't rush it, but you could make the argument that hurt them, it helped them, depending on which side of this you fall on. But, you get Zach Collins, Trey Jones, and Kevin Huerter. I mean, they're all just there to make the money work, really. Like, Trey Jones is young enough that, maybe you could turn him into something, but they've got enough guys playing point guard over there. He's probably not going to get too many minutes, and honestly, Trey Jones kind of sucks. Zach Collins, good vet, get some rebounds, bit of a hothead, whatever, play him, who cares. Maybe he could fight Beef Stew. I'm going to predict that right now. First
that would
game,
be great.
Bulls versus Pistons, divisional rivalry there.
Yes.
I'm going to say there's going to be a fight. And then you got Kevin Huerter there, who, you know, solid shooter, might be able to stick around. He's going to look really gross.
Maybe.
Kind of like Brian Scalabrine, the red hair and the red jersey. Not going to like the visual, but, you know, shout out to Red Velvet. But getting back their own 2025 for a first round pick.
That's
and
huge.
I believe that was in that DeMar DeRozan trade. That is big because, again, they are going to be considerably worse now without Zach LaVine. And you got to imagine that the Vucevic trade is coming any day now.
Yep.
And
he's going to be a warrior, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And now they can fully kind of embrace the tank. I was saying, God, you got to watch out for the 76ers. And then now they've lost two in a row. But, you know, they're still
big
only
comeback by the Celtics.
Yeah, they're only a game above the 76ers right now, so I think the 76ers will probably jump them now.
The Bulls are going to free fall after this week.
And that's good, though. At this point, like, it's not like any of us said they had a future with this roster, with Vooch and with LaVine and everybody else going on. Like, I think that the Bulls fire sale is starting now. Lonzo, wouldn't be surprised to see him moved in the next couple days as well. They've got a lot of vets and a lot of assets out there that they'd like to acquire. So overall, happy for the Bulls. Maybe they will finally find a way to get out of this mediocrity that they've been in since 2013. So really hoping for them. Obviously, one of the most historic franchises of all time. But yeah, they haven't really given us anything to really care about in the last decade.
No.
So hopefully they can figure this out. And, you know, with that 2025 pick, maybe they can get lucky in that this year's draft. And we'll see. Again, like we said, a lot of talent out there to be taken.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And that's the big thing. Like you said, the players are just to make the money work. The point is to be bad. Finally, the Bulls, we've been pleading with the Bulls for a couple years now to finally start making this happen. And again, I mean, this is the problem, holding on to guys thinking, oh, you know, we can make this work, whatever. Like, this is now the haul for Zach LaVine, a single pick and salary filler, because this is where his stock has fallen to. And you know, it's crazy to think that that's true. Cause even me, not the biggest Zach LaVine guy, his shooting splits remain insane. The efficiency is insane. So, I think Sacramento, has got a good sort of way to pivot forward. If you're the Bulls, please, my God, trade Vucevic. If they don't find a trade partner for him in the next few days, I'll be shocked.
Just fucking cut him at this point.
Yes, honestly, just tell him to send him back to I think he's where is he from? Montenegro. I forget where.
I think that sounds right to me.
Somewhere over there in the Balkans. The Bulls, it feels crazy that this little mini era is over. The whole Bulls are back thing from a few years ago with that Lonzo, LaVine, DeRozan experiment that really went nowhere, but it's due time.
Cool win streak at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun for about a week, but it's over, and I think everyone should be happy.
Well, we will keep everybody posted as we will monitor the trade waves as we go through here. Jimmy
Still
Butler.
Still no Jimmy.
Where are you at? I feel like maybe I reverse jinxed it. This is really the time of the reverse jinx. Jinx is dead, but the reverse jinx is in. Saying that there was not going to be any big trades this deadline, it was going to be shitty, and then we get
these
blockbusters. So hopefully this does indicate that Jimmy will be traded sometime soon, and we'll continue this getting crazy. I think the funniest part that, again, he's probably going to be going to somewhere in the Western Conference, and the Western Conference is going to be like 13 teams all fucking guns blazing.
Insane.
Trying to make the playoffs, and the East is going to have fucking like the Hawks are going to be still like,
I told you, the Raptors are going to sneak in, get to the conference finals, baby.
Yeah, this dog shit 76ers team that doesn't deserve to be there. They're going to be messing around. It's a bit of a joke. Each conference, but either way, the big dogs will be here to recap it all and stay up to date with us. If you're first time listening, thank you very much. Give us a follow at Big Dog Ball Talk on X, Instagram, Facebook, for all you old heads out there, and of course TikTok as well. Give us a follow, help us help you, and we will be back on Friday
recapping all the trades.
Huge trade.
Unless we have another emergency.
We might get a little antsy. We were waiting to get on the mics all night, all day. So thank you for listening, everybody. This has been Big Dog Ball Talk. Bye, Echo Jordan Flegel. And as my good friend Jordan always says,
Matt, I think we're famous enough to be on Dancing with the yes. Stars, which you saw just last night. So, what's your go-to? What would you bust out? The foxtrot, the fucking what's the other one? The tango. What do you like?
Well, you know what? I'll say this: two things. One, the hand jive is fucking not dancing.
The hand job.
Shit.
Come on, man. That's not. Oh, there we.
They were doing that, and I was like, that's not fucking dancing. That's shitty. My other thing, Larry David,
watching a fucking concert, man.
Pretty much, just complaining
about everything.
Well, and here's the other thing. I think the women, the female dancers, you know, they do really great. They're getting swung around. They're dancing. They're doing it in heels. They're doing all kinds of flares. They do a lot out there. The guys are just fucking chopping it up, man. I could fucking get a month and their salary. I'll fucking do it. I could dance with the stars, man. The guys don't do shit. The only thing they got to do, as long as you're strong enough to lift these women, and these girls are probably fucking 110 pounds max. They're fucking, that's all they got to do. And the girls are still posing and holding it in. Like, you've got to do shit. So, yeah, female dancers, shout out to you. This looks like a hard gig. Men who are out there, you guys have a good gig as well. You can just toss these ladies around and enjoy yourself and dance in front of crowds and get paid to do it. But you don't do all that up. Not super impressed, but you know what? Maybe by next year, I'll be on Disney Stars and I can put my money where I'm going.
Yeah, do it. You got my vote, Matt.